Just welcome them to the film. Some applause.
Okay, and again, hello from us. This is Kai Schubert, and my name is Christoph Brüning. As we are already happened to be announced, we are going to give a lecture about the thing, the project we started, which is called Privacy Workshops. Just a few words about us. Both of us are more or less involved in jobs where we can educate. Maybe you want to introduce yourself, Kai?
Okay, thank you, Christoph. Yeah, my name is Kai Schubert. I'm working as a research assistant at the University of Siegen, working there on different projects, and for instance, at one an elementary school. That means I'm very often involved in work with school kids, really young school kids, and on the other side, I'm working, of course, with different students at our university. So that's why we are working, of course, and teaching a lot of with young people. And Christoph, maybe you explain what's about your background.
Okay. I'm basically a student teacher, which means like in 1.5 years I have my second final exam. Yes, my second final exam, this is in Germany. And after that, I hopefully become a full teacher. And I'm teaching the classes in German and philosophy. So, what are you going to hear from us now? Okay. These are our contents. First of all, we'd like to say a bit about what we did already and where the idea came from and why we did that. And then we'd like to introduce you how we communicate the value of privacy to students, how we made those hand-on sessions and explain them, like how TrueCrypt works or other things. And as our last point, I'd like to introduce to you what we want from you, actually, because we not just want to present our project, but we want others to join us. So that's basically what we want. Okay, next slide. About the idea. We happen to start as a local group in Siegen of the German... what's it called? The German Working Group on Data Retention, and we made a lot of happenings in the street. We participated in demonstrations. We made art stuff where we created a big false camera and moved around and scared the hell out of little children and passengers. But then we moved on and said, okay, it's fine. Arts are fine. Art stuff is fine, and participate in demonstration is fine, but it's not enough because we're not raising any knowledge by that. And that's how we created the idea of working with students, because the young generation are the most people, from the young generation, they're the most people who are in the net. It's not the old ones who know how to value privacy, but the younger ones who doesn't seem to handle it right, like we feel it is right. So, first of all, you may ask you, how do you get students listen to you? As I'm a student teacher, so it's for me very easy to get students listen to me because they have to. They just have to. Yes. Okay, but maybe for you asking yourself how you choose. And the first thing, if you want to get in contact with students, is like just find a teacher, because you hackers, you got skills with computers, you got you see systems and you see the flaws in the systems and the failures in the systems, and teachers don't. But most of you, as I would think, cannot handle a larger group of small children, but teachers can. So it's a win-win situation, as I didn't want to say it, but now I happen to. Okay, next slide. When you have the students, the next thing you have to do is to concern them. It's all about concernment. We better made a signal. Okay, next slide. Okay, because if you are in the age of 10 and 16, everybody beyond that age is old or dumb. The younger ones are dumb and the older ones are just old. And that's the sole reason why young students don't listen to old people when they say, privacy is a good thing, please concern about your privacy, please think about your privacy. You're just too old for them to say anything that are reasonable for them in any way, as they might think of it or find it. So, do we have any chance at all? And yes, we have a chance. The only thing you have to do is get a list of the students you want to talk to or you want to deal with and print out their social network profiles. Print out all the pictures you can find of them on the internet. Print them out and hang them around the classroom. Like, make a nice vernissage of their privacy or what they think, what their privacy is. And from then on, it's basically a self-working thing. I did that before. A colleague of mine asked me if I can do a talk to his students, and what I did was asking him for the list, and he said, why the list? And I said, I need their names and the profiles to print them out. And I made a nice vernissage in their own classroom when they weren't in. The next day they entered the classroom, they did it the same time with me, and I was completely quiet. I sat there and just was smiling to them. And they entered the room, and after like 20 or 40 seconds, they saw the pictures and the profile, and they began to laugh. Oh, my own profile. What a laugh to see my privacy fear here. And I did nothing, I just smiled at them. And after a while, they saw the picture. They saw the pictures drinking and in bikinis, and the 13-year-old girl saw the pictures of posing, and so on, and so on. And I still kept quiet. And after like 4 or 5 minutes, and you need to hold that time to get the students their self quiet, they begin to look at me, and I simply ask, what do you think the teachers reacted as I did that vernissage at the teachers' lounge earlier? And their faces went like, what? I was like, yes, all the teachers saw you drinking, Sonja, yeah. Or Tobias, as you were smoking where it wasn't allowed, yes, we were all seeing it. And after that, after you concerned them, after they realized you're old, but somehow you knew something, they didn't before, and you can fiddle with it, after that, you can talk to them. Okay, yeah, next one. And then you can communicate the need of privacy. Okay, next one. You can ask them after that, after you concern them, after they realize that what they formerly felt like a private fear, a social network, isn't, because it is public and I can download it with a fake account. You can ask them, do we need the privacy, that ancient bastard at all? And yes, there is some part in our lives where we actually want a private fear, where we don't want to be it in public, where we don't want to see it printed out in the teacher's lounge. Okay. The next thing you have to make clear to the students is that they grasp the internet as a vast marketplace. And from here, I'll just click it on my own, I think. Hello. Because young students see the internet and especially social networks at the private sphere, because they intend to upload information, data, and photos to share it with their friends, not with the public. They don't get this point clear. So you have the first step, you have to concern them, you have to print out their formerly filled private social network profiles and made it into the public, into a public classroom, and then you can show them a picture like this. That they always remember the thing that the internet is a vast, a huge marketplace. Because if you upload a picture of you drinking or drunken in a social network, it can be uploaded, downloaded by those of who you want to request a job from, or by your teachers, or by your enemies, or by your whatever. And you wouldn't tell anyone to get drunk at high noon and to wander around a huge marketplace yelling out all the names of the girls and boys you slept before with, because you just won't do it on a marketplace. And so, if you don't do it at a marketplace, don't do it in the internet, because everything what you can upload can immediately and instantly be downloaded by enemies, by former students, by former students, or even enemies, like the teachers. And, of course, by your parents. Your parents can download this stuff. You have to make that clear to the students. Not every secret what you have in mind, not every of your picture that you have on your computer is worth to be uploaded in a completely public space. And I'm sorry, I forgot to say something first. The way Kai and I are talking to you today is how we talk to the students. So I know for you it's not a totally new fact that the internet is a public space, but for some students it is. And to give you just an idea of how you can talk to students, we like to talk to you as students so that you can see it live. And then you have to address especially the girls, because girls, like in the age of 8 to 13, upload pictures where they look completely older than they are. And they are experiencing their own female whatever and try to pose with it, try to make pictures. Okay, this is okay and it's fine and it's normal for good health and an English word, for good adolescence. Is it the right English word? Adolescence, okay. It's completely normal to do those things, but you please don't upload these pictures, because it can upload by anyone. Choose wisely, completely wisely, what you want to upload in a public sphere, and that's another thing you have to make clear to students. Once you've uploaded it, it is gone. It is in the sphere, it is on the marketplace, on the huge marketplace where it can never be taken back. Think of you, think if there's a picture of you, you actually might, it slipped in the internet and you didn't understand the impact of that. Look at those pictures that created that created impact on people that maybe don't like to see those things. But the McCain Zilla is great. I really love it. Oh, this is another one. This is nice. This is ASCII Art Hitler. It's reading. You've been just Hitlered. Your doom is sealed. But there is rescue when you send this adult to all your friends. P.S. Otherwise, he's coming for you on his own. There happen to be schools in Germany that have exchanged with Israel. And it's not quite the best thing you can do to upload this ASCII art on your profile or on your colleagues' profiles when you want to attend this exchange. Grasp the internet at the West Marketplace. Everything what is said, upload. It's not just said and upload, but it's given to a public sphere. This is what people need, students need to realize. And this is a question that students raised and give to me. And I actually had one student, and she asked, but is it all evil? Would you suggest not to use the internet? And I said, no. The internet is fine. It's a place where we can meet, where we can meet our peers, and where we can connect to each other, and where we can communicate. But we just have to get clear that it's like a Hubert's marketplace. Like I said before, you wouldn't actually wandering around, drunken, on high noon, yelling out all the names of the people you slept before with in your life. So don't do it in the internet, but you wouldn't suggest someone not to go to a marketplace at all, or not to connect to peers at all, or not to communicate at all. So far, are there any questions? Yes. Wait for the microphone.
Okay, I would like to know, how do I get teachers interested in this? Because I happen to know a lot of teacher students, and I find it very hard to inform them about privacy issues and get them interested.
Yeah, normally it's more easy than it if, looks at the first sight. The best thing is that you have a teacher at friend. This makes it very easy to complain to him what he made wrong in his years before and how you can help him. The next thing is, if you have interested students, they know quite a lot better than you, maybe, or than anyone else at a school, how teachers fiddle around and with which teacher you can play or not. Just ask students which teacher would be interested in such a project, and they might give you the answer. Yes, he said, get the profiles of the teachers. Yes, there happen to be not a teacher social network so far, I think.
There is a kind of.
Okay. Maybe I already have a fake account in that, but I don't know it already. So, from here on, it's Kai's turn.
Thank you, Christoph. So, I'm going to explain to you some things about hands-on, what we're going to do in practice with the students and the kids. And first, something about general setting and organization. Of course, good idea to have a school with equipped computer rooms and stuff like this, but it's not as necessary. You can also do it in another place, like a youngsters club or something like this. And it is very important that do you things with a real practical part of it. It means you do hands-on things, that means you do at the computer, and you're also doing things without the computer. That means in the best situation, you have a huge room where you have on one side a lot of computers where you can do practical stuff, and on the other side you got, for instance, a large table where you can sit and have your short input talks and discussions with the students. That means you're not always sitting at a computer. That's very important. And of course, what's very helpful, that the kids bring their own stuff. Of course, not everyone has a laptop, but mostly nowadays everyone has a USB drive or a USB thumb drive, as you can see. And just announced them before, please bring your own stuff. We will use it during the workshop. And it's, on the other side, very helpful if some of you in your group is not as old as maybe we two. It's maybe easier if you find some, for instance, teenagers in your group that are also kids at the school or in this age. For instance, we've got two younger participants in our group, and they are much, so to say, for them it's much easier to explain what is going on in the social network services and to explain at the beginning about the settings and so on. Those about the general setting, not all, but most important ones. And now what about explaining technical details? I'll just show you later on some examples. For most of us here, of course, we know about these things, encryption and whatever. But for most teenagers, it's, I don't know what about, I don't care. And that's why it's very helpful to explain it, of course, as easy as possible, but not too easy, of course, and explain it with comparisons to the real world. And later on, I will show you some examples of this. For instance, that you can protect your own data with mainly three different kinds. The first is, as you can see, you have something, and in the real world, you got a key to enter your house, a room, whatever. The second opportunity is that you know something. Just explain them that you need, for instance, for social network services, a password, or for instance, at a bank, you need and a cash machine and an ATM, you need your four-digit PIN number. And of course, at least you are someone with biometrical data. Of course, good idea to explain them it's not a good idea to use this kind of security because most of us know it doesn't work at all at the moment. So just explain them, and this is the most important. Knowing something is important, and it is knowing that this password that you're using for most of the social network services must be secure. And here are some examples. First of all, we've done some settings in social network services. That means two of our colleagues that are younger than us explaining them by detail at the computer while the students are doing the same at their own computers. What about settings in those services like SchülerCC, Facebook, and whatever? For instance, switching off that everyone can see your pictures or any other stuff. And after this turnaround, or maybe it's a good idea to not do it only in one of those social network services, maybe you do it in two or three of the most important ones. At the beginning, of course, it's a good idea to know about what they're using, and in Germany for school kids it's mostly SchülerCC and SchülerVZ and other services, and then you're deciding two or three of them, and then just go on the setting page and just explain them all these parts, what it is about, and what does it mean if I switch this on or off, or select different settings. As I said before, good idea to speak about secure passwords, and of course most of them they're using just those 4, 5, 6 digits, and not a good idea. Then explain them this really easy opportunity to remember a hard and a tough password if you remember just a sentence and using the first letters, like, I don't like to remember passwords, and using this ID and so on, is much better than your own name or something like this. And then force them to think about a new password and to create a new password. And later on, and this is very important, you use it. You're using this password for changing it on the social network services, or using it at the last part that we are also going to do for data encryption. We have shown those kids how to create TrueCrypt containers on an USB thumb drive. You can do also a lot of other stuff, but in our opinion, most of this encryption software is not that usable, and TrueCrypt is one of those that is, in our opinion, most easiest one, and of course with a lot of other advantages. And that's why a good idea, the password that they have created before, to use it directly in the next step. That means they bring their own thumb drive, you are installing TrueCrypt on their laptops, or you install it on the computers, and after that you create a container on a USB drive and explain them how it works and how to use this. And if they know that this container, the data that is contained in this container are really protected, and even a teacher is not in a possibility to read this stuff, they are really interested in, especially if they're saving this stuff also on storage network drives where normally the computer administrator of the school has also access to. If they know even the administrator can't read it, they're really interested in. So, at the end, after the hands-on, we just want some things from you. We give you some information, and what we want from you is, first of all, join us enlightening school kids, teenagers, and students about privacy and how to take care of this.
Yeah, we actually need all of you to join us, because it happened to be that at a school there are 60 teachers and normally 600 school kids, and or about those 60 teachers, and where like 3 or 4 understands the things, one has a time and the other is interested in doing something more than he already does. So please help us in enlightening more and more. You already have the knowledge, you just need to find a teacher. He got the didactic skills, you got the knowledge. It's totally fine, but please join us.
So, and as Christoph is speaking about teachers, join us enlightening teachers first. That's important.
Yeah, definitely is. I have worked with them. It definitely is.
So, what we're also interested in, tell us about your experiences, if you're, for instance, doing something similar, or what are about your experiences at schools. And of course. We already started creating teaching materials, and we're always interested in improving it, and by doing this with your support would be a great idea. So at the end, are there any questions?
Two suggestions. The first one, you said the pupils should bring their own stuff. There are pupils who can't, who don't have any. You should provide something for them. The second one is, why don't you contact the local Erfahrkreise or CC clubs? There are sometimes pupils in the age of these kids who can inform them about these things. And I think they will take them serious because they're the same age.
For the first question, yes, of course, it's important that that you also got some stuff. For instance, at the school, not everyone can bring his own one. That we have done, and I guess it's mostly possible to have some laptops prepared. And in our case, it never wasn't a problem at all.
Yeah, and at our last privacy workshop, we had 10 USB pen drives with us for those who can't afford an own.
Yeah, and for instance, USB thumb drives nowadays, for instance, to have a kind of an attraction or so, you can buy 10 for some euro or somewhere and just give them away at the end. Also a good idea, and it's no more that expensive than before. And about the second question, if you wanted to add something about ERFA and CCC local.
Yeah, the problem with ERFA and CCC crisis in Siegen is there are none.
No one.
We are the only one who knows who are actually doing anything in this field. And yes, you can ask ERFA crisis and hacker groups to enlighten students, but the thing is, when and where? The good thing about making those things at school is that you have a place, a PC pool, like my school happens to have a completely new PC pool with friendly light and colors where you actually like to be in. And so we head to the room. The next thing is when this is, you have to organize like 10 to 14 students at the same time somewhere. This is not easy when you try to do this without school. We tried it. We sent invitations to nearly all the 40 schools around Siegen and invited as many students as possible to come. And actually, I show you with my fingers the number of students come. Zero, except three good friends of a colleague of us. This is the thing. When you do it at school, you have a teacher who can actually force the students to their luck. Yeah? Okay, if you don't want to lose your grades, please come to us at Saturdays. Yes,
we can do it. Why don't you invite these people to the school at the time you teach them? Should be possible.
Which people, the students or Erfahrkreise?
Yeah,
okay, sure, you can do this. It's always a good idea to have more knowledge around, but we actually happen, there is none. There are no. Okay, next question.
Yeah. two ideas. One is, in order to get all the teachers, you need to get to the computer science teachers. So if you teach get the computer science teachers interested in showing how these things work, they will tend to bring it into their schools with things that they do. As a card-carrying mother of a teenager, I just have another idea of how you can be getting to them. I had put up a picture of my son many, many years ago when he was cute, sort of half-naked. And it was on Google, of course. It was Googleable. And I'm seeing many, many parents putting up pictures of their kids when they're small. And when one of his friends discovered this, Googling his name, it was, of course, utterly embarrassing. And we had to go to a lot of trouble to find a human being at Google to get rid of this picture. It might be a good idea to also not just look at their own profiles, but see if you can find out their parents. Do their parents have Facebook, Flickr accounts, and have everything public so that it's possible to get one or two choice pictures of them being little kids, and maybe that will also help them to embarrass them enough to say, oh, we've got to do something about this, and have a nice fight with their parents, explaining to their parents.
This is a very, very good idea, and we did something like that in a bit at our last privacy workshop. We made a contest, Google one of us. and we sought out a prize, some chocolate stuff, to get them for the one who could find the most information about one of our members. And it came out that they were nearly astonished that you can made a complete trace of a year of some person just by the pictures he uploaded, where he has been, who he has talked to, and so on. This is a very good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Rainer Glück. I'm from CCC Hamburg. We have a similar project, and we attended an Easter egg before. So
yes,
yeah. I just want to point out the matter of getting 14 students in one room at a time they don't want it to, or they normally have leisure at this place. That's easy. Don't talk to the students, talk to the teachers and ask if it's part of their normal subjects, of their normal lessons. And so the students will be there because they are forced to, and they are happy because they don't have a boring teacher in front of them, but something they don't have to write, they just have to listen and that's all. So that's quite another atmosphere in the room, and it's not, it has not the bad taste of something. Well, when does it end? I want it to be at home and the sun's shining and now it's late. Well,
yes, that's completely right. The best thing you can do is to tell the teacher, tell me how to educate them, but please then go. As I did it. The last time we made a privacy workshop, it was with my own students, and I tried to be the less time in the front. I tried to stay mostly behind, so that they couldn't see me at all, because it would be like the normal teacher-student situation otherwise. So this is also a good point. Any further questions?
Do the schools accept you? I mean, don't they say it's some kind of weird political party, so we don't want them to indoctrinate our students? I saw that one of your workshops in Karlsruhe is in the view of the Linke, which is a political party. So the school workshop shouldn't take place there.
Yeah, this is in German, it's law that you have to stay out at school with any political stuff, any party-related stuff. So if you do this, and you can't find a place at the school, try to find a place that's neutral, that's as neutral as possible. And if you come from a party, try not to make that clear. Try to make that clear toward the teachers and the principal of that school, but not like to overwhelm those students with, we from that party brought you this wonderful privacy workshop. That's, you have to stay there very neutral because it's law in German. And of course, it's better for the students not to make to overwhelm them with some other ideas, like because they get bored. Ah, you want to sell us something? It's like this old scene.
You mentioned that you're not aware of anyone doing anything else like this here in Germany. Are you? I know I've read about something similar in, I think it was either the UK or America, inspired by a book called Little Brother, where teachers did workshops very similar sounding to yours. Are you aware of other international movements in this, or
no? At the moment, no. That's pitiful. I know, but maybe we can talk later on so that you can give me the names that I can try to get contact. Any questions? Yes. It's mine.
Okay. Well, you talked about that cool stuff of Facebook and so on. Is there any opportunity for us to get into that thing without our own account?
Yes, like you can use Trashmailers. like I always use yourmail.com because they export the inbox as a RSS feed, and all of my fake accounts are made with those trash mail addresses, so that I can don't have to waste my own. Any last question, perhaps? Okay, do we want to go? Oh, no, there is. Okay.
Okay, this is more like a remark, some experience we had at a university in Bremen, where they introduced like these small cards. You buy everything, you know, every meal you buy, you're buying with these cards and so on. And there were some students sitting there like, well, okay, we don't like them, but they get now rid of all the cash stuff, so we use them. And they got the idea to actually go and ask, okay, whatever, what do you have stored of my data due to these cards? And they got the printout. It was like, they just had it for 3 months, and it was like 30 pages of stuff. Every meal they ate, everything they ate, it was stored on there. So it works also in other places. It's always a good idea to get the people, the idea, you know, look for the data that is stored about you somewhere.
Yeah, that's right. You can do this with basically all kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be RFID data chips builds or social network profiles. You can use anything that concerns them. Because like most of those ideas and concepts like privacy and data protection are very, very abstract and even hard to describe in very simple words. Like it took me about 20 hours to find pictures that expresses those pictures. I need to, like how many, like 24 hours we need just to find these pictures. And it's very, very hard to put abstract concepts into understandable words. So the easiest thing is to concern them, present them the bill, present them the social network profiles, present them anything that they will be concerned about it, and then they think, oh, I didn't expect or want that.
Just to add, I also think it's a really good idea to try to visualize those massive kind of media and data you're creating every day using just any kind of modern digital technology. For instance, printing out is a really good one, but you can do this also in other ways. And I think not also for school kids and teenagers, it's an interesting or important idea to do so. If you wanted to engage people to care about their privacy, do it with other stuff like other social network services for parents and stuff like this.
Yeah, you can actually a small bell. Take a small bell with you, which you ring it every time someone loses his data, and so you can go around with some ping, 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 ping. You lost already. You lost already. You lost already. Another private data of you.
Yeah. For instance, one thing we've done at the beginning of our group in Siegen was to print out small pieces of paper where information was signed, like a telephone call from person A to person B on this and this date, talking about this and that, and just take this and leave it on the floor in a city center, and to explain people how often and how quickly they are losing their data, and not losing, or they're creating data that what someone later on can be useful.
Yeah, you can see one of our pictures. Do we have them? No. I get on my personal webpage, which is christoph.de, but Christoph is two C's in the front, so C Christoph.de. I actually linked to my pictures on 23.hq.com. Okay. There you can find some of our art stuff pictures where we try to visualize the loss of data or those loss of privacy stuff things. End. Dot. No.
Okay. Just one question.
One more question. Do you also teach them? I know it's mostly impossible how to get rid of this data if it's on the internet. There are some methods to get rid of it. Do you also teach them how to do this?
we explain them that you can contact administrators and... Oh yes, Yes, we did. I tried to explain them that if they search hard enough, they can find pictures of me got drunk when I was 16. And they all got excited because they were my students. And and I said, I tried to contact the administrator, but he didn't just react on my emails and my phone calls and did not erase those pictures. And by that, I tried to show them how hard it is to remove data from the internet, because even, and that's another point, even, yes, one student asked me, she asked me, what's about if I just take out the, that I just, yes, okay, nice try, with a mouth full of tongue it's hard to speak. I tried, no, actually, she asked me, so, like this. She asked me, didn't it just would be easy for me to remove the pictures from my social network profile so that you cannot get them anymore? And I said, yes, you could do that, but I already have the pictures on my hard drive and on the starter storage server of the school. And so they're gone. And is a question? I'm not sure anymore. Is it answered? Yeah.
Just to add, this is really important to tell people. Of course, you got, in my opinion, really small or minimal opportunity to get it back. But in my opinion, it's the best idea to keep explaining that at the beginning. If it's on the internet, it will be there forever. And if you're 16, you can't maybe imagine what is the result in about 3-4 years when you're joining a job or whatever. But you have to explain that normally, like Christoph's example has shown, it's not possible to get it out.
Yeah, the human, there is a human psychological range of like 2 weeks. Anything further than 2 weeks, we cannot imagine. If I would tell you, like, the Earth will explode in 2 years, you feel like, yes, I get 2 years left. But if I would tell you the Earth will explode in 25 minutes, you get concerned. And this is why, maybe, it's like, where's my payback card? Where's my payback card? The Earth got it destroyed. So the best thing is to concern students with things from their day-to-day life and from nowadays. You can use pictures from earlier days, but it won't concern them as much if you use actual stuff. Okay, there was a question.
Not so much a question. I hope you don't mind if I check this a little bit. I just wanted to mention that there's another organization in Germany that's called Freiheitsredner. Also in Austria soon, and if you, these guys are do stuff similar to the privacy workshop, and if you're all on your own and interested in helping, then you can join us there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. The Liberty Speaker Network, as I'm part of it, oops, I better should have mentioned it. As he said, we are a network of like 70 people around Germany, which you can ask to hold a talk, to give a lecture, give a workshop at any place, at a school, at your job, anywhere, at your Christmas party, about data retention, about surveillance laws, and so on and so on.
Okay, are there any further questions?
Okay,
that's the one.
So you have to stay?
Yeah. Do you have any idea why there is no initial interest in this privacy stuff or in this young generation?
I thought about quite a while. I think it's that they didn't grasp the internet. They think the internet is a thing they can use to share things with their friends. And they didn't. Most of the students I talked to, and I talk with many students for a very long time, without giving them any hints of what I wanted to hear from them, to know what they think about. And I think they grasp it the way they intend it to use. They intend to use the internet as a medium to communicate just with their friends. So they think it's a sphere just for them and their friends, their peers. So they don't get it that it's a public area. And I think that's the flaw, the most flaw in the plan.
Hi. I'd like to add something completely legal. As far as I know, according to the Urheberrecht, copyright in Germany, some web poster of some web page whatsoever only has the right to post a picture of you, where you clearly can be seen identified on this web page with your explicit consent. So if you guys want some web poster to remove some picture of you, which got there somehow, they are obliged to do so. So you can even go after them legally if you want to do so, as far as I know.
Yeah, that's completely true. And that's why I chose the picture in the marketplace. That's why I chose the picture of the marketplace. You can go on high noon, drunk into the marketplace. I slept with, I can't remember her name. And the day later, you got your hangover and you feel sorry about yelling out her name or his name or whatever. And so you go back to the marketplace and try to find every person who may be in audible reach to have heard what you said. And to go to him and say, please forget it. You may miss one person, or you actually couldn't find a person at all. And that's the best picture, I think, to describe this flaw. You have the right to remove a picture that you don't want to have there. But at this time, it's already given. Anyone who has downloaded it may not want to publish it, but he has it on his own hard drive. So this is why we merely try to bring the students to choose wisely what they upload, because once they upload it, that's the way you have to feel about it. It is a present given to a huge marketplace, to everyone there, and you cannot control who are this one is talking with, or who are this guy is talking with. You have yelled to him your PIN code, and he's maybe talking to him and to him anymore. You can't control it.
But wouldn't it be better to teach the children also to not take photos of them drinking and smoking in the first place?
Sorry, I didn't catch the question.
Wouldn't it be better to tell them to not take photos of them drinking and smoking in the first place?
Yeah, but it just happens to be that drinking and smoking at a certain age is prohibited, and so they do it, because it is prohibited.
That's what your picture proves they did.
Yeah.
Okay, if there aren't any more questions, we thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening, and if you got further questions, we are still here. And you have a look at our website or send us an email. Thank you very much.